My name is John Siddarth, and I am a candidate for the Democratic nomination for the 1st Congressional District in Virginia.
Give me your 15, 20-second pitch on why people should vote for you.
Well, I think I'm the best candidate to beat Republican Rob Whitman in November because of my background. I'm 59 years old. I'm a native of the district. I graduated from Garfield High School. Then I went to West Point, where I was the number one economics student in my class and also got an engineering degree. Served my country for 3 years in Germany in the field artillery, and then I later commanded a howitzer firing battery in the Rapid Deployment Force. Went on to Stanford, where I got an MBA and a certificate in public management, and then moved to the Richmond area. I was the COO of 6 different multinational manufacturing companies with factories in 15 countries and operations worldwide, and I learned how U.S. public policy both helps and hurts American workers and American employers. And a big part of that is healthcare. We pay twice as much as any other industrialized democracy, and we don't get an outcome as good. And this is the only advanced country where the employer provides healthcare. So employers and the companies are reluctant to hire new workers in the United States. I've also been married for 33 years. My wife and I have 2 grown sons who we raised in Hanover County and sent to public schools. I've been active in Habitat for Humanity. I was the chairman of the Habitat, the Hanover Habitat for Humanity for many years, and helped it organize itself. So it went from building 1 house every year or so to 6 or 7 houses a year. So we've put 70 families into homes that they own. And I've also been active in the Hanover Democratic Party for many, many years.
If you could pick one, is there a most important issue that you're kind of focused on or that you think you could make a difference with?
Well, I think, you know, there are 3 issues that are absolutely crucial to our country and this district. The first is campaign finance reform. There is so much money in politics that it's hard to get Congress to do the right thing for the people instead of the right thing for the special interests that contribute to their campaign. For example, if you look at my opponent, Rob Whitman, most of his big campaign donors are actually defense contractors. So I think until we limit the amount of contributions and the cost of a campaign, Congress is going to continue to be beholden to the special interests as opposed to the people. And that is why it's so hard to get real change in things like healthcare. As I said earlier, we pay twice as much as any other industrialized democracy, and our outcomes are not as good. If we went to a single-payer system, which I'm an advocate for, we would be able to save as a nation about $1.5 trillion, and the federal government could save $600 billion. That money would come from the 20 or 30% that go to health insurance companies and pharmaceutical companies that charge Americans 2 or 3 times as much for prescriptions as what citizens of any other country pay. And finally, infrastructure. I am very concerned about the lack of improvement in traffic in the Washington, D.C. Metro area, including Northern Virginia. I'm a native of Dumfries. 95 has been backed up my entire life. And as I said, I'm 59 years old. I think we need a East Coast strategic traffic initiative to look at different ways that we can move north-south traffic away from the D.C. area so that people in our district aren't spending at least an hour of their lives every day wasted and idling in traffic because of traffic congestion.
What would that transportation, what kinds of things specifically do you have in mind?
You know, I think, you know, the best way to solve a problem is to have a process and not to have, you know, 1 or 2 people come up with solutions up front and then try to justify those solutions through the process. That's how we get bad decisions made. But I think the big picture would include diverting traffic from the D.C. area that originates outside of the Baltimore-Washington area. You know, say traffic coming from Delaware, New Jersey, New York, northward, and heading to Southern Virginia or further south. If that traffic was not going through the D.C. area, we would have much less congestion. Now, how could we do that? Some ideas are, and these aren't, I'm not proposing these as solutions. These are just ideas, but let's take the Amtrak auto train, for example. You know, that originates in Lorton, south of D.C. If people had the opportunity to get on the auto train, you know, above Baltimore, that would save them from having to go through the D.C. Corridor. People have talked about ferries, actually, Wilmington to Wilmington in the past. There's also the possibility of a different corridor going outside the D.C. Metroplex. I think some of the congestion will be reduced by technology, you know, smart cars, autonomous vehicles hopefully will drive better than some people do. You know, a pet peeve of mine is people who drive slowly in the left lane and block traffic, and, you know, they're like a convoy, you know, commander with all these vehicles behind them that most likely they're oblivious to, and other cars are weaving left and right trying to get around them. So better driving by humans as well as by smart cars would help things as well. I think and on some of the surface streets off the interstates, things like roundabouts would help alleviate congestion as well. But I've talked to different people. I went to a traffic symposium in Prince William County a couple weeks ago. I've talked to people from the DOT. There is a tremendous number of ideas and solutions, but none of these things ever get off the drawing board because, you know, the Republican tax and fiscal policy leaves us cash strapped, and there's really no money available right now to make those types of investments that would make everybody's lives a lot better.
How do you, as one of 435, if you are elected, how do you make that difference?
If you look at progressives who are running for Congress right now, a very high percentage of us are advocating for single payer. So if we really do have a blue progressive wave in November, you're going to have all these freshmen and fresh women take an office. And I think, you know, we join together and we ask for action quickly on single payer. I think we also have to look for action very quickly on campaign finance reform, because again, money in politics is the root cause of things not getting done.
You talked a little bit about Congressman Whitman, but what differentiates you from the other two Democrats you're running against June 12th?
Well, I'm the oldest. I'm the most experienced. You know, I've had, you know, essentially three different careers. I was a very successful Army officer. I won the Meritorious Service Medal, which is really the highest peacetime medal that a junior officer can get. I also ran six different multinational manufacturing companies with multiple locations, revenues up to $700 million. So I kind of know how the world works, how business works. Every single one of those companies was a turnaround when I took it over, you know, losing money. So I had to lead a team and coming up with a plan to get the company profitable again and back to profitable revenue growth. I'm also a father and a husband. I've been very, very active in the community here in Virginia. And I've also started my own private equity firm. So I am also a small businessman and an employer that kind of understands how things work. Something else I've done is negotiated healthcare plans for my employees for the last 20 years. You know, so I know all the ins and outs, the intricacies, high deductible, low deductible, HSAs, FSAs, HMOs, PPOs, all of those things. And you know, it's very, very difficult. In order to keep healthcare costs down, you know, we often had to change providers and plans, which creates anxiety for employees. So I think just with my, you know, age and experiences, I have a much better understanding of what works, what doesn't, and the types of things that need to be done in Congress for us to start moving forward again. I've also, you know, been on the board of several 50-50 joint ventures with the Chinese, with the Japanese, with American companies, where you had to build a consensus in order to move forward. So, you know, I'm good at reaching across the aisle, establishing trust, and looking for mutually beneficial win-win solutions.
How do you represent the whole district when you have a district as sprawling as this one is, with as many different areas as this cuts through? Have there been different issues that have come up in the different areas you've been in? How would you deal with those?
Yeah, well, you know, absolutely. You know, we're 19 counties plus the city of Fredericksburg. We're geographically diverse. We start down in the Jamestown area, include the entire west coast of the Chesapeake, go all the way over to the Richmond area in New Kent and Hanover, and then up the I-95 corridor with Caroline County and King William, King George, you know, Fredericksburg, parts of Fauquier and Spotsylvania, Stafford, parts of Prince William County, then the whole northern neck, you know, Northumberland, Richmond County, Westmoreland, Lancaster, Middlesex, Gloucester. You know, it's very, very diverse. And the very first thing that I've done is listen. I think I've probably been in all the counties more than my two competitors. And you're right. The concerns and the issues are very different depending on where you are. For example, 2 weeks ago, I was in Kilmarnock talking to the Watermen's Association. You know, these are people who are fishing and crabbing and oystering the same way their grandfathers did and their great-grandfathers in these wooden dead-rise boats. They can't start fishing until the brink of dawn, but, you know, they're already out on the water when the sun comes up, so they can start working, and they can only fish for 9 hours. They have a lot of regulations they have to comply with. They don't make enough to afford the market healthcare plans. You know, after Trump destabilized the insurance markets, premiums in those counties went up by 60%. They make too much to qualify for regular Medicaid. They don't understand why they're not getting Medicaid expansion, even though that is a state issue. And I had to tell them, look, I don't know. You know, I don't know why Republicans think it's okay for a healthcare CEO to make $30 million a year and then be against Medicaid expansion and be against a $15 minimum wage. But, you know, they have very, very different issues than the people in Stafford and Prince William and Fredericksburg do. They don't have broadband internet. You know, they don't have a lot of economic opportunity for young people. So they need a real infrastructure investment. Rob Whitman had an opportunity. There are a couple of acts in Congress to bring rural broadband, but, you know, Paul Ryan and the Republicans would not even let those get out of committee. So, you know, they need infrastructure investment. They need regulation relief. They are environmentalists. They do want the fishery to be sustainable, but they want it to be done in a smart way, not by arcane rules. People in Northern Virginia are extremely frustrated by traffic. And, you know, the state and the federal government guaranteed loans for this Australian company to build these express lanes. You know, the tolls can be up to $40. They take, you know, $350,000 in toll revenue out of this country every day. All of that could have been publicly owned infrastructure. But, you know, because of crony capitalism, you know, the public took the risk and the private enterprise is taking the rewards. So, and I think it might have been WTOP, but I did read where that stretch of I-95 from Arlington to Fredericksburg is the most congested piece of interstate in the entire country. And the average commuter loses over half an hour each way, stuck in traffic. And, you know, the human cost is $2 billion a year. You know, our planners and our congressmen don't take that cost into effect when they're allocating money for investment in infrastructure. So, and then we have places in our district that are underwater during storm surges. So climate change is an issue. We have people who whose kids don't get a good education. So funding of schools in some of the less affluent areas is an issue. People are very concerned about gun violence. I'm a Moms Demand Action Gun Sense candidate, but I have talked to at least five different people who own assault weapons who said they would gladly give them up if everybody else would too, and it meant their children would be safe at school. So, You know, the issues are pretty clear. I've been pretty strident and outspoken because if I am elected, I don't want anyone to be surprised by, you know, how I will vote on an assault weapons ban or universal health care or investment in infrastructure and education and, you know, action on climate change. So we're not, you know, we're not triangulating here. We're stating exactly what we would do if we get the vote.
Is there anything else that you think voters going into the primary should know about why they should choose you or that's important to who you are?
Well, I think they should choose me because I will be, I have the best chance of beating Rob Whitman in November. And I am the one who's most prepared to be a good legislator. But I also want them to know, even if they're not going to vote for me, they should still come out and vote in the Democratic primary, because I get the impression that the state and national parties do not believe that the first district is winnable, you know, because it has traditionally been conservative. But I think if we have a surge in Democratic voters, you know, they will stand up and take notice, and it'll improve our chances of getting state and national help in the election and improve our chances of sending a progressive to Congress next January.